Now I'd like to read that psalm, Psalm 67. It says this. If you'd like to follow along, I welcome you to do that. I'm reading from the King James Version. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is not one of the best known of all the Psalms. I suppose it's the words are familiar to us, at least those, let the people praise thee, O Lord, let all the people praise thee, because we sing this song here at camp and perhaps in your churches. It is a familiar song. Let all the people praise thy name forever and forevermore, O Lord. But it's really a great prayer. And there are things to think about in this prayer, as there are things to think about in all of Scripture. But I like the way the psalmist asks for God's mercy and his face to be turned toward his people in gracious favor, his face to shine upon them. It reminds me of the blessing of Aaron. God said, this is the way. Moses was to tell Aaron and the priests to bless the people and to put his name upon the people by praying for them in this fashion. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And it says, and they shall put my name, the priest shall put my name upon my people. And it seems that what God was saying was that in this blessing, as this blessing was pronounced by the priests, God's name would be placed upon his people. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Think of it, the shining face of God. I think of it as the favor of God, also as the glory of God. I know Moses wanted to see God's face. Remember that time he prayed and wanted God to go with him and with all the people, and God was holding back, perhaps testing Moses' faith and desire, and I'm going to send my angel before. Oh no, I don't want to go without you, Lord. You come with us personally. And he had several requests in that chapter in Exodus, and one was, I beseech you, show me your glory. And I believe that Moses saw some of God's glory in response to his prayer. But one thing God said to him was, you can't see my face and live. There's that blazing holiness that sinful man cannot behold. And he said, you won't be able to look upon my face and see the outshining of my glory, at least not in its fullness. But I will manifest myself to you. I will declare my name to you. And God gave Moses a wonderful experience that day. And it's a wonderful thing to desire an experience like Moses wanted. God said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. I'll show you that I am the Lord, that I am sovereign. And then he revealed his name to him. There's a place by me. Stand here in the cleft of the rock. I will pass by. And the Lord passed by, and he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And he proclaimed his name to Moses. That means he gave Moses something additional to understand about his character, about who he is and what he's like. And it was because of Moses' desire. Oh God, I beseech you, show me your glory. And here the prayer is similar. Oh God, be merciful to us and let your face shine upon us. And there's a blessing that flows from that. When God's people are blessed in this way, others are blessed. That's one of the great lessons, I would say, of this psalm. It says, God, be merciful unto us. Bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us. Then that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. That means that when God's people are what they should be, when they have desire towards him and faith towards him and want to have that fellowship with him and come into his presence and really experience his indwelling life and power, as we sang about before, then something happens. Their lives become a blessing. The Holy Spirit fills them. And what did Jesus say? Rivers of living water flow. And others are touched, thy saving health among all nations. So let their lives praise you, and let all the people praise you, and let the nations, their salvation for the Gentile nations too. Let them be glad and sing for joy. You judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. And again, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. And then the earth yields her increase. God gives an abundance of blessing. I think of the Old Testament people of God who were promised this type of blessing. The harvests would be abundant. If they would obey, God would put his blessing upon the land and give them an abundance. And so he looks also for that fear of God. I mean, that reverent awe, that submission, that desire, that obedience to him in us, and wants to give his blessings. Blessings now and blessings later and blessings that abound and blessings that flow far and wide. We sing in one of the Christmas songs, he comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Praise the Lord. And when God's people experience his mercy and his blessing and his face shining upon them, there's something that happens around them. There's something that happens around them. We have another song in our book here that says, Jesus revealed in me. And it says, to reflect his grace, causing the world to see love that will flow till others shall know Jesus revealed in me. And I think of blessings now and later. I think of the blessings that God has caused to flow from this place over the many years, and I thank him for them. And I want to praise him with all my heart. 67 seasons, almost past. That's a long time. I don't know if anybody here has been at all of those seasons or has been here from the beginning. That was 1946. Do we have anybody yet? Okay, that's a long time ago. Most of you weren't born yet in 1946. Let's see. Some of you were. But maybe you weren't here. And I just thank God for the blessings that he has caused to flow. And I pray that they shall always continue, and I pray that we shall always have a desire for the manifestation of the presence of God, for the shining face of God. You know why God caused his light to shine in our hearts? 2 Corinthians 4:6. Do you know? He wanted us to know, I know that you know, the light, it says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ, That's something that he wants us to see with the eyes of our hearts. He makes us fit temples of the Holy Spirit, that his presence might be manifested within us, and that we might know Jesus. And that's a treasure, he says, that we have in earthen vessels, or in some of your translation, in jars of clay. The excellency of the glory is of God and not of us. So we have something precious that we bear when Christ lives in us. And may God's face continue to shine upon us, and may his favor rest upon this place. It's not something that we take for granted either. It depends on the people that are here now. We can't rest on our laurels, as they say, and those who prayed 40 years ago. We have to give ourselves to prayer, and we have to seek the Lord, and we have to want his name to be glorified among us. And I believe God has put that in many hearts, and I thank him for that. So let's expect and pray for his blessings now and his blessings later, that they may abound and flow far and wide from this place. I believe that he has already done that and desires to continue to do that. May he find us faithful and true to him. I trust the Lord to meet us in these days as we have come together to look to him and seek his face and just to worship and adore him. I pray that he will touch each one of our lives. He knows all about you and me. He knows all about Andrew, whose birthday it is today. Andrew, would you come up here, please? Whoa, we can't see this guy. He's growing. Okay. Andrew told me that he's 8 years old. Did you get any cake yet today?
Only one piece.
A piece of cake. Okay. I didn't get any. Okay. Oh, I had pie, though. That's good. You know what I was thinking about, Andrew, and why I was hoping that you would come to meeting tonight? I was thinking about how the Lord has his hand upon your life, and how I pray that he'll make you like Andrew, the disciple in the Bible, who was such a blessing to other people. Don't you want that? I think you
I don't
do.
Know.
Of course you do. And I wanted to share something with all of you. You know, Jesus took a child and put him in the midst and taught wonderful lessons. And I was thinking about Andrew turning 8 years old today and about something that we read in Psalm 8, which says that out of the mouth of children, you have, let's read it together, Andrew, so we get it right, okay? In fact, I think you know how to read, don't you? So here we go. Yeah, there might be some hard ones in this, but I'll help you.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. Read this, from the lips.
And
right here. From
the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the
avenger.
Avenger.
Okay, here the psalmist is saying that God's name is great and mighty, okay? And then he says that from the lips of children, God has ordained praise. Children praise God. And then it says, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, in the King James Version and in other translations, it uses the word strength for praise. I believe that is so in the English Standard Version, which I had in my room and neglected to bring. I'm glad that Bonnie has it. Would you read that verse for me, please?
Psalm
Okay, you have established strength. You have perfected praise. Now, when Jesus quoted this verse in the New Testament, you remember that it was on the day that he came into Jerusalem, and the crowds acclaimed him as the Son of David. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We call that Palm Sunday. And he went into the temple, and he cleared out the temple of things that didn't belong there, and he said, "My house is to be a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves." And then he healed people, as we read in Matthew 21. This is only going to take you a minute, Andrew. I know you're standing here a long time, but not as long as I have. Okay, here it says, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Now, would you read that from the ESV? Because I saw something there about the preparation of praise. Please. Verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 16.
And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise'?"
Thank you. Now, Jesus knew what the rest of the verse said. And this is the thing that strikes me from this little part of Psalm 8 and the way Jesus used it on Palm Sunday. The psalmist is saying, "Oh God, your name is excellent in all the earth. Your glory is above the heavens. How majestic is your name. From the mouths of children you have ordained strength. You have prepared praise that you might silence the foe and the avenger." Okay, this is the way I see this. If anybody sees it differently, I'd be happy to entertain your thoughts. But this is the way I see this. Jesus used this verse from Psalm 8 on this day when the powers that were, shall we call them, the strong people that were opposed to the kingdom of God, they thought they were right. They were the religious leaders, and they had the power. But they were really the foes of God's work, and the enemies of Christ and his kingdom, right? So now, Jesus takes those that would be considered weak, the children, in the temple. He heals the blind and the lame, and the children are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and the chief priests and these big guys, the important teachers of the law, were indignant. Okay? So these are your picture of weakness, the children, the infants, right? And Jesus says that as they praise him, the foes, the enemies are being hushed. God is winning through the weak. He's winning through the ones that are weak. He has ordained strength to flow through them. Now that's a Bible truth. I'm giving you and through you, all of us tonight, the Bible says that God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, to win his victories through them if they will praise him, if they will worship him, if they will give him the glory that is his due through their lips and through their lives, he will use them in mighty ways to do his will, to accomplish his purposes. And that's a great lesson that we can learn from an 8-year-old from Psalm 8 today. And God wants you, Andrew, to be a praiser and to praise him with all your heart, with your life, to give him the glory that he deserves. And he doesn't just want it from you, but he wants it from all of us. None of us is a chief priest or teacher of the law or anybody. I don't know, I shouldn't say this. I speak for myself. No one here is really out of the ordinary, somebody great, high, and mighty, right? We're all just ordinary people. Weak in ourselves, we serve a mighty God, a living Savior who is strong within us. And he has ordained that we be used to accomplish his purposes, to hush the foe, to silence the avenger. It's such a wonderful thing. Thank you for letting us learn that from Psalm 8 tonight. But Andrew, I want to encourage you to be a praiser, to give your heart to the Lord and sing and praise and worship with your heart, with your voice, with your life. Okay? Like Andrew the disciple, he loved to tell other people about how wonderful Jesus is. Thank you, Andrew. So he praised the Lord. And there was weakness there. But out of weakness, through faith, so many were made strong, and we can be among them. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you mean to us and all that you have done for us, Lord. We could never number your blessings. We could never tell your goodness. But we thank you that you have brought us here safely. We thank you that you want to bless your people and cause your face to shine upon us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And I praise you tonight that we can walk with you. Thank you for the opportunity we have for further fellowship. We pray that you will bless the time down at the beach. In Jesus' name, amen.